Welcome to the Untangle and Thrive podcast, where we talk about real problems, real clients, and real solutions. Now here is your host, Angela McKinney.
Well, hello and welcome back to Untangle and Thrive. It's Angela McKinney, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys. So today I thought we would talk about momentum. How do you keep momentum in challenging times? How do you keep connection when things get tough, right? When things start to get a little overwhelming, when there's a lack of clarity, maybe what your next step is. And often momentum is driven, mostly it's driven by, right, connection, passion, vision, capacity to stay with things even awry amid difficult challenges. Even when things are falling apart, how do you respond in ways that are resourceful? And, you know, so often we're seeing people get more disorganized. And this is what happens, unfortunately. They get more disorganized in challenging times. And it becomes, say, quarantine becomes a trigger to their system. They feel immobilized. And so then they don't know where or how to mobilize resourcefully. And the ways they have mobilized maybe haven't been all that beneficial to them. But that interruption can create a lot of confusion for people. A lot of my clients are more disorganized inside of a quarantine or this isolation, this extended isolation. And a lot of their issues are just flying around their faces right now. And they used to be able to go out all the time. The go, go, go people are really uncomfortable in the stillness. Some of the isolated people are a little relieved and they're a little more overwhelmed as things are opening up in states. So how does one stay with momentum and how does one organize resourcefully? No matter what, people, no matter what's happening, no matter what difficult obstacles have arisen, how do you course correct? How do you adapt? How do you bring yourself back into your life more fully and stay with momentum? I think a lot of people are feeling the struggle that you get these big breakouts and then there's this pause. There's this digestion cycle. There's this titration cycle where you sort of have to reevaluate. You just broke out. Now, how do you build? How do you return? How do you create more momentum? I think it's not helpful to think there's a big breakout and then it's just all there, right? And we just stay in this big breakout. It's just not the case. You have these breakouts and then you sort of digest the breakout. You evaluate the breakout. You learn from the breakout and then you recommit and reconnect to then facilitate another breakout. I want you to sort of hear that rhythm of working with your system in a way that does tap into its natural rhythm. And I think for some of us, for some of my clients who start to break out, a big part of the difficulty arises in their difficulty with receiving the success of the breakout. Receiving it, letting the body take it in, feeling a new orientation towards greater success, that the greater success doesn't have to lead to more overwhelm. It can be stabilized. It can be expanded. You can find your system to be with a different tone, to be with different music inside of that breakout. Often people will break out and their system isn't available to really receive it. And then they just get overwhelmed and then they just destroy it. They destroy the breakout. They collapse, they sabotage, they break because on some level their body is very threatened with receiving the success, receiving the accomplishment. I can't tell you how disorganized we get when we can't receive visibility and success. And if we can't receive visibility and success, guess what? We can't stay with momentum. We abandon it, right? So instead of expanding into it, we constrict away from it. Now, again, there is a natural rhythm in titration, metabolizing, sort of registering the breakout, kind of reevaluating, taking in the success, using your body to help you feel the gratitude of that breakout. Often people will be, gratitude is from a head state. I've never found gratitude to work when I make a gratitude list, when I just write, I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for my health. The best way I teach my clients to metabolize gratitude is let your skin do it for you. Feel the gratitude of bubble baths in your on your tummy, on your skin, for some little thing that you've accomplished, from some action you've taken, or from some movement that you've created to get a new result or create a new experience. Let your skin tickle in gratitude, okay? Don't need to list it. You don't need to make a list, in my opinion. You actually need your body to feel gratitude. It's an experience. It's not a thought. It's an experience. It's not a thought. And as we get more available to take in gratitude and pleasure with an experience of success, of a breakout of momentum, we start to gather more resources to expand our capacity to take in more success, more visibility, more gratitude. And, you know, some people will be like, it's overwhelming. They'll start crying and they'll start to have a real response to this vulnerable shedding. It really does feel like an unwinding and a shedding of an old, constricted, rigid way of living that's becoming more available to grow, to bloom into life more freely. You know, momentum is such a masculine word, right? It's like momentum. Let's get some momentum. It is a masculine word. You know, blooming is to me the feminine version of momentum. Blooming is a being state, right? But it also has momentum. It's a natural rhythm of growing and opening and then letting go, right? And then coming in and refinding another stem that can push out and open up even wider, even taller, and letting that one go and kind of coming back. To me, that is a healthy reframe of what healthy momentum looks like. I have plenty of people who are so disorganized and they're momentum driven. They are the most successful people in their industry and they're... And it's like a train wreck. Their house, their life, their personal life is a train wreck. And, you know, they're trying to secure their significance through momentum, through power, through money, through chasing. So I think the word is really tricky because they would be like, yeah, I'm all about momentum. But then, you know, on reflection, how's momentum serving your life, your personal life? And it's all it's doing is creating, you know, shipwrecks. Crisis, neglect, abuse, just all sorts of crap. So I think really it's important for us to get a new experience. What is momentum for you? How can you reclaim it right now? We're in a difficult time. Our country is very disorganized depending on what state you're in. Depends on how disorganized you really are. And emotional disorganization completely gets in the way of an organic process of really reconnecting, growing, blooming. It really does. Emotional disorganization and reactivity, it's an unresourceful place to collaboration, to unifying, and to growing. There's no growing in emotional disorganization and reactivity. No one grows there, people. There's no availability to grow. No one grows when you're feeling victimized and angry and at war with things. No one grows there. There's no growth. So getting out of emotional triggers and disorganization is the first step. That's all, you know, go to episode one on this podcast. Like, that's the untangle. That's the work of the untangled self, okay? For our purposes today, I'm going to assume you're not an emotionally disorganized state, but you could be triggered around momentum. You could be triggered around growth in this time, right, of COVID. What are you doing to grow? How are you strengthening your body right now? How are you feeding yourself well? How are you learning new spiritual practices or new meditations? What books are you reading? What are you doing to increase your capacity to understand something? Where are you putting your time, energy, and focus? What would healthy momentum for your life, what would that look like? And let's go to blooming. What would blooming and opening up to a new experience in your relationships look like? How could you get more brave? How could you get more courageous? How could you start asking more of yourself to show up in a new way? How could you ask for others to ask to receive in a new way, right? So what is that collaboration in your system? How does it excite you? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about my father. I've had, unfortunately, some negative stories about my father with the whole racism and the Southern white male, framework. But, you know, my father isn't just one thing. He was multiple things. And his life was of value. I loved my father, even though we had a complicated relationship. He had tremendous value as well. And I'll never forget one story that he shared with me. And it was about the only story he ever shared with me regarding his childhood, which is he was born in a poor family in Kentucky. He was the oldest boy out of seven brothers and sisters. His father was a raging alcoholic. He was violent. He was apparently not a nice man at all. And his mother was overwhelmed, and she sounded unhinged as well. So she had an idea to take her youngest baby. So she left the family and she had this man drive her to Chicago. And the man came back from Chicago dropping her off somewhere. I'm not sure what, but she needed to get out of the family. And she abandoned the kids and everyone. Well, the man came back and apparently my alcoholic grandfather got in a brawl fight with him at bar and killed him. It was either him or his brother. We're not quite sure. It doesn't even matter. The point of the story was my father, really being the oldest son, had to manage the farm, had to manage this alcoholic father, had to manage the fact that his mom abandoned him and everyone else, and had to be the grown-up in a very disorganized family. I mean, hello, people. So he didn't talk too much about the horrible stories. He told me enough to know that it was violent. His father threatened to shoot him multiple occasions, just line them up and take them down. If the mom didn't follow, if the mom didn't obey the rules, it was horrifically violent. But the part of the story that he would constantly tell me, and it's touching on this idea of momentum, was that when his father was on trial for murder, the defense attorney who came to his side to advocate for his rights. He's nameless. My father can't remember his name. But that man imprinted a vision for my 8-year-old father where he was overwhelmed and moved at the same time. His mind had been sort of blown open that someone who looked dignified, kind, respectful, took the time to represent his father. Okay? His father unfortunately ended up going to jail, and my father's story turns from bad to worse until the state takes him and puts him in the system. But the vision of what is possible and what my father connected with when he accessed that man forever shaped the landscape of my father's life. So he had incredible difficulty. He didn't start school until he was in fourth grade. He couldn't read. He was humiliated. He was teased. And yet, my father became a defense attorney. Okay? He became a defense attorney. He got a scholarship as an All-American basketball player to University of Tennessee, whatever. He put himself through law school. He became an accountant. He worked his butt off to serve that vision of possibility. Now, why is that important? Because without that connectedness, without that passion of a heart, of a place that he wanted to get to, of the sense that he could do that for other people. He could embody what that man did for his family. He could do it for other people. That moved him so much that he could stay with the hard times. He could stay with the humiliation. He could stay with the struggles. He could stay with it because he was working towards something that meant something deeply to him. And this is what we need. We need connectedness. Whatever that is for us, we need to enhance it. We need to revisit it. We need to expand on it. We need to recommit to it constantly. We need to safeguard it. We need to nourish it. We need to get accountability around it. We need to get visible with it. And that is how we grow into momentum. That is how we foster it. That is how we seed it. It didn't just happen to my father, right? It never just happens. These happy, easy stories are never, in my opinion, accurate. You don't go to a person who's never made $1 million and have them teach you how to make $1 million, correct? You don't go to a state right now who doesn't have, a 1% test positive ratio. And, you don't go to those that have 25% positive test ratios and go, hey, you're having a successful go of it, state, whatever. What are you doing? Maybe we should do what you're doing. No, you go to the ones that have taken 25% down to one. You go to people who used to make $10,000 who are making $1 million. You go to people to learn yourself into greater capacity and a better system to optimize momentum, right? So I talk about my father's story because I think it's so relevant. Now, my father never really talked about the work he did in the prisons and with people, with the Appalachian people, disenfranchised communities. He never really talked about that. My father was broken, as I've said. He wasn't bad. He was broken. He talked about the big cases, the insurance cases, all those big overreach cases. But when I showed up to his funeral, I was 9 months pregnant, and I showed up, my first child, who, by the way, he is a replica of my father. It's frightening. My father died in this horrible tractor accident. It was just horrific. He was pinned under a tractor on his farm for a very long period of time, and then all these surgeries, and then unfortunately he passed. But at his funeral, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Appalachian people lined the street up to pay their respects for him. And I just remember being very, who are all these people? Like, it was so confusing to me. They were crying. They had blue hair. They were stuttering. And paying their respects and gratitude. And they seemed like they were going to be lost without him. And I learned how the pieces, when a puzzle sort of fits together and you heard the story your whole life, but you didn't quite understand how it fit into someone's life. Well, it came to a match at his funeral. The people who spoke on his behalf, the people who came up to me and talked to me for hours, I learned so much about him. And it seriously, I was sad that I had to learn about it at his funeral. I was really saddened to hear all the incredible work he was doing in these disenfranchised communities, helping brothers and uncles. And, he even worked out an arrangement for his corporate law work with a man who owns lots of furniture stores in the area. And he spoke on my father's behalf and he said, Tom never charged me for any legal work because anytime a person got out of jail, they needed a bed, they needed a dining room table, they needed help getting started. How could they start a new life if they didn't have a place to sleep, if they didn't have a table to eat from? And how beautiful is that, right? Like, it was so practical. It was so clear. And so my father had momentum. He created momentum. He created a purposeful life to serve people he understood. And that's a beautiful thing. And so where is that for you? What would be a breakout for you right now? It could be just showing up and cooking for your family differently. It doesn't need to be grand. When we purposefully belong to something that is meaningful to us, we can stay with it through thick and thin. If we're willing to reconnect to it, if we're willing to value it, if we're willing to safeguard it and protect it and not abandon it. And often people, these little snippets of visions happen all the time. There's a sense of, oh, I want to live in that neighborhood, and somehow we live in that neighborhood. Or, oh, I always wanted to travel there. And then one day you find yourself there. It's amazing what we can manifest and often what we take for granted. And certain things that are really easy for you, for example, or for me, we've undervalued and we haven't allowed it to bloom our life into a bigger life. The things that are sometimes the easiest are the things we need to be doing more of, that we need to be enhancing and leveraging and working differently in order to support our life more fully. So momentum, you know, triggering word for some people, reshape it, find a new rhythm. What would momentum, what is blooming? What would that be for you to stretch more wide, open up, receive something and digest it and rework it, return to it and then push out again and digest it and titrate that pleasure of the experience of just breaking into new grounds, stretching yourself just a little bit more, wiggling your butt and having just a little bit more fun, shaking it up just a little bit more, freshening up all your relationships just a little bit more, and how these pleasure sensations that are connected to that experience can actually fuel momentum, meaning growth, belonging, thriving. Okay, people, have a beautiful day. I'll be with you next week. Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, check out our life skills programs. We take these creative life skills and integrate them into a practice. Check out the details at www.untangleandthrive.com/program.